Hello and welcome to the Nashville Daily Podcast. I'm Stuart Deming.
And I'm Aaron Pennington.
The Christmas Day bombing in Nashville, what we know.
The timeline that led up to the events.
And the latest news on the incident.
We'll talk about all of this and more on Nashville Daily. All right, so this is the first episode in our series of a few episodes. We will be talking about the Christmas Day bombing in Nashville, in downtown Nashville, throughout the rest of this week, including on Friday is going to be, there's going to be a video component to it, so we will be able to go into more detail and include some visuals with this as well. But we're going to be taking our time with this and going through a lot of things. So if you want just a very, very small recap of what happened on Christmas Day and any updates, just in case you've missed anything along the way, there was a bombing that happened on Christmas Day on 2nd Avenue in downtown Nashville.
This happened at 6:30 a.m.
This was 6:30 a.m. This is kind of a quick recap. The FBI has identified the main suspect of the bombing as Anthony Quinn Warner, and he is believed to have died in the explosion. He is believed to be the bomber who took an RV into 2nd Avenue in downtown Nashville, and that led to the explosion that happened in downtown Nashville. Now, we are going to go through, at least today, we're going to start the timeline for what happened and what led up to the event itself. What's very interesting is last week, I would say about a week ago, on this podcast, we released an episode, two episodes called The Best and Worst of Nashville for 2020.
Yeah, so that was last Tuesday and last Wednesday released those episodes, episodes 409 and 410, if you're interested in listening.
And, you know, it's very interesting because that's one of the first things that I thought about during this whole, you know, as soon as I heard it, I was in Kansas when this happened.
I texted you. It had to be like maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. And I said some explicit words. And I was like, hey, have you seen all this?
Luckily, I was not in my apartment, which would have been interesting. I probably would have felt the explosion. I don't know. I'm a heavy sleeper, so I don't know if I would have felt the explosion. It's right off of Woodland and South Fifth, so I don't know if I would have felt it or not, but that's close enough. And we've heard reports of people feeling it 7-8 miles away.
Oh, there's reports up in Goodlettsville. People were feeling it. There's a guy that was on a tree stand. He tweeted out on Friday that he felt it, and he was passing Goodlettsville, like up close, like White's Creek Pike or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know, it is very interesting that. That's one of the first things that I thought about was, oh, well, I thought the worst of Nashville was over, right? That's why we had a best and worst of Nashville episode. That's why we had two episodes about it.
I think next year, because we're going to be doing it on the last day of
it's
December.
Right. It just goes to show you, like, there's, you know, 2020 is not a year to be missed. And it's just, it's crazy that we posted a best and worst of Nashville for 2020. And then this happens on Christmas Day. But let's go through the timeline. By the way, if you want to stay updated, xplr.nash on Instagram is where we will post. If anything gets newly released throughout the days, we will be posting information on there. Something that we just posted last night was the body cam from one of the officers who was walking through 2nd Avenue minutes before the explosion went off.
Yeah, so there's a body cam footage of him walking on 2nd Avenue, and around 150 seconds in the video, he actually passes the RV. So you see the RV clear as day in the video, and then around 354 in the video, you actually hear the explosion. And that was a crazy body cam footage.
It was it's good quality. The audio's there, so I would definitely go watch that if you're interested in this at all. I think a lot of the stuff that you can watch and listen to are going to be here on the podcast. We're kind of making sure you have a little bit of everything on here and on our Instagram. So definitely get if you get a chance, go and watch that. It's on our Instagram account, xplr.nash. Now let's walk through. Because there's a lot to walk through even before the explosion happens with the timeline of this bombing. So we have to start at 1:22 in the morning. We've got all the links for this in the show notes if you want to take a look at all the articles that we are mentioning, all of this and even the audio that you're going to hear, all of that. Even with video, will be linked in the show notes. So at 1:22 a.m., Metro Nashville Police say that this RV that is accused of being actually the bomb, the explosive being in this RV, pulled up, according to the security cam footage that they found, pulled up onto 2nd Avenue.
And this is from numerous security cameras that they have from 2nd Avenue. There's one right there on 2nd and Commerce they have footage of. There's one of it's near the melting pot where they have footage of the RV passing. And then there's also a camera footage that came from Church Street in 2nd Avenue of the RV sitting on that street. But I believe that camera was fully damaged in the explosion.
So, you know, what's interesting is it'll be interesting as they learn more about this, because I watched recently the movie called Patriot's Day, which is the
with Mel Gibson.
No, that's I think that's Independence Day.
No, the one with Harrison Ford.
So Patriot's Day is the the guy who I can't remember his name right now. I'll have to look it up. Look up Patriot's Day and see who it is. It's Bark something. Mark Wahlberg. Is Patriot's Day.
Okay.
And it's about the Boston bombing. But what
wasn't that called Mile 22?
No, this is Patriot's Day.
Okay.
And so in the movie, what the FBI does is they trace back the timeline of events based on security cameras from the individual businesses to see where the bombers came from. And it makes you wonder, have they done that with the security footage for everything to see the timeline of events? Because we don't have a release timeline of events for the RV other than we know it pulled up into downtown Nashville around that time. So I'm sure they're still looking into where it came from, even though we know who it belonged to. They're probably still tracing back the history of events that led to this RV getting there at 1:22 in the morning on 2nd Avenue.
And that means they're tracking camera footage from all the way from Antioch, supposedly where this RV possibly came from.
Sure.
So you have all that camera footage and all that backed up for the highway cameras. And so there's hours and maybe thousands of hours of footage they have to go through
to figure out the path of it. Yeah.
Yes.
So, now what we have is at 4:30 in the morning, this timeline of events is coming in from the Tennessee, and so you can kind of follow along with us. 4:30 in the morning, a 2nd Avenue building owner and resident, Betsy Williams, said she woke up after hearing the sound of several bursts of rapid gunfire. So that's at 4:30 in the morning. At 5:30 in the morning, there were apparently another round of gunfire shots, and we've got some interview footage of somebody who's heard this and their report of it. And, you know, they said it was really loud, and we'll play that here in a minute. Not the gunshots, but the testimony from somebody who called into 911. But police responded to the reports and people calling into 911 of shots fired near 2nd Avenue and Commerce Street. And they also saw a suspicious RV outside of a nearby AT&T building. This is along 2nd Avenue. And here's where we start getting into a lot of the interesting details. A recording seemed to be playing from the RV announcing that it would explode. We have a lot of footage to go through here. And officers began evacuating residents in that area.
So you may be thinking, you're like, oh, there's an AT&T building on 2nd Avenue. I know the one on 3rd Avenue,
the Church Street. The big Batman building.
AT&T building. But if you've ever walked on 2nd Avenue, there's a building that's colored in red, and it's a windowless building. It's 15 stories tall. You can't miss it. Like, it's an eyesore in downtown because you're like, where are the windows in this building? And so it is on 2nd Avenue across from the warehouse district, and it takes up a huge portion of 2nd Avenue from Commerce Street all the way up to Church Street on 2nd Avenue.
Yeah, and so we're going to get into the sounds that that RV made, so you can hear the actual broadcast, if you will, coming out of that RV saying that it had an explosive inside of it. Everybody needs to evacuate the area, and even, you know, more kind of very odd stuff with that whole situation. But what we want to do now is there's an interview that News Channel 5 had. The interviewer was Nick Barris. He had an interview with, we believe, Kim Madlam. Really, this was almost hours after the bombing.
Yeah, so I was watching this all on News Channel 5 unfold, and what's really interesting is there was actually a news crew in downtown when the bombing happened, and they were doing stuff about like weather of the day, and they were talking about the light snow, because we had like a quarter of an inch of snow on the ground.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it was very exciting because it was Christmas, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to wake up to a white Christmas in Nashville. But they were actually covering the weather in downtown, and they were downtown when the explosion happened. And
wow.
And so I got up around like 7 o'clock or so on Christmas Day, and I didn't check my phone for like 15, 20 minutes, and I got up and I saw it, and I was like, oh crap. But this interview, I think, happened around 9:45, 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday, but it's a super interesting interview of what happened that morning.
So the interview is from the perspective of a person who not only lives but has a business, I believe, as you said, as an Airbnb owner in downtown on 2nd Avenue.
I don't know if they own the entire building and rent out different Airbnbs, but they have a business in downtown. They have a GoFundMe page set up as well for them, and they said they're going to be giving the money that they get to their employees. So I think that's their Airbnb business. But they have lived in downtown Nashville for nearly 15 years, and so it's really interesting to hear.
So let's go to this interview. This is from News Channel 5 on their YouTube channel. And their interview with Kim.
On this Christmas morning, as we continue our developing news, breaking news coverage of a huge explosion, Nick Barris in the 5 Alert Center. Nick, I understand you have spoken with a witness. What have you learned?
Yeah, Rory, this is getting to the heart of the question of what was it exactly that led law enforcement to believe that this RV on 2nd Avenue was suspicious? What drew them to that location and why? And it's really a critical question being asked right now, and I think we have some answers to that question. I talked about it earlier in one of my live hits, and now we have one of the witnesses, a resident who lives right down there, joining us on the phone right now to talk about what it was she saw. And this, folks, is very interesting. Let me make sure we've got her on the line. Can you hear me, ma'am?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us. If you would, real quickly, could you please give us an idea of where you live, proximity to this RV, and then we'll get into what happened this morning.
Okay, I live at 166 2nd Avenue North. That's the building where the melting pot is located and Rogizio. And the RV was parked right outside of our window. We're on the third floor, and the RV was directly across the street from our apartment.
Okay, so now let's go to what you told me and what I know authorities are looking into as well. It was around 5 or 5:30 this morning that you were awakened, and walk me through it to the sound of gunshots initially?
Exactly. Between 5 and 5:30 a.m., we heard very loud gunshots, repetitive, like 5 to 6 shots. I'm not sure, but very loud, and that woke us up. But we only heard it for a minute, and we just thought maybe, you know, you don't know. You live downtown, you hear things. We've been living there for 15 years. Well, about 5 minutes later, we heard it again. And then I realized, and it was in the same place right outside of our window, basically on the street. So I called 911 for the first time at 5:32 this morning was my 911 call to say that I had heard gunshots. Well, then I went downstairs. We have a two-level apartment, and I looked out the shades of my window, which I was a little bit afraid to raise because of the gunshots were so close, and I saw an RV directly out front across the street. And I began to hear a broadcast from, like, a recording coming from the RV. And it was saying, this vehicle has a bomb. If you can hear this message, you need to evacuate. And all that was happening, and it was still, I mean, that went on for about 30 minutes. But then the RV message changed and said, you have 15 minutes to evacuate. And then we heard 14 minutes. Well, I went downstairs and I looked out on the sidewalk and I saw that police were at both ends. By the way, I did see a police officer earlier between 5:30 and 6 a.m. walk around the RV.
Okay,
and
so
911 told me that police had responded.
So they had responded, and we'll take it from there then. So what you're saying you heard at some point, and maybe this was something law enforcement had already been alerted to, was some kind of an announcement coming from the RV. I think you mentioned to me, did you not, it sounded recorded, a male voice, but you never saw any individual inside the RV.
No, I couldn't see inside the RV. It was parked facing in an opposite direction, so I never saw the windshield. And, you know, I was listening to something that I think you guys just played on the news, and now I'm not as positive it was a male voice, but it was definitely a recorded voice.
A recorded that voice,
was very
okay.
Consistent, saying, you know, evacuate this area. This vehicle is a bomb. It has a bomb. And then it started the countdown, and the last count we heard was 8 minutes, and we were in our cars driving across the river. But then it didn't go off until sometime after that.
Okay, so yeah, do you think you made it across? You went over to Nissan Stadium, maybe in the parking
right.
area there. The
yeah,
countdown.
And watched our building, and we were looking right at our building, and we knew we couldn't hear the countdown at that point, but we knew from the time that we left, you know, 20 minutes had passed, and there hadn't been an explosion. So we started driving back. We came back across KVD Bridge, and we're going to turn down 2nd Avenue. In fact, we made it almost down. We were on 2nd Avenue. Headed towards Broadway, but not quite to Broadway, and that's when we saw the explosion.
So at that point, you thought, hey, this may have been some type of hoax, and then, boom,
right.
It went off.
Yeah, we thought it was over, and then it happened, and then we just pulled over, and, of course, by that time, everything was blocked off. And
wow. Do you know, by the way,
yeah, we're in a hotel now.
Just to ask you this, do you know, were there other residents in the building, to your knowledge, that got out safely, perhaps, or?
Not in our building is a vacation rental business. We run that. Now, two of our family members are here. We have, and they were, that we got them out with us. They were in separate apartments, but they came with us. So the only four people in our building got out.
Had you not gotten out, do you think you would have been harmed?
Oh, definitely. You all been showing it on here. We're the building straight across from the explosion. The whole front of our building is blown up.
So you might have been killed. You might have been killed if not for that warning.
Yes, if not for the warning. If that person had just detonated that bomb with no warning and no gunshots, we would have been either very seriously injured or killed.
Let me ask you this, too.
As
someone who's familiar, obviously, very familiar with 2nd Avenue, the fact that there would have been an RV parked there along that stretch on Christmas morning, not by itself, just sitting there, is not all that unusual, would it be? There were other vehicles parked on the road. That wouldn't have been suspicious by itself, would it?
No, it wouldn't have, and especially because it's the holidays and people know that parking's not being enforced, I would have assumed that was some family visiting somebody, and they just parked their RV there.
So it's your belief, then, that the early response from law enforcement and obviously how you were able to get out of there is because of combination, the gunshots, which really right now we can't really explain what those were all about, and then the warning from the vehicle.
Exactly. Yeah, the gunshots, I mentioned this before, and I'm not sure of this, but the gunshots were so loud, there is a possibility. We've wondered now if they weren't a recording that came from the vehicle as well.
Interesting.
We don't know that, but as we've reflected back on it, because we heard it three times, it was exactly the same. You know, we wonder now if we weren't listening to a recording, but we don't know. But the gunshots definitely is what woke us up. Because the recording, I don't think, would have been loud enough to wake us up if we hadn't heard the gunshots.
Of course. By the way, do you have any inkling, and not something you would have necessarily noticed, but how long had the RV been there? Was it there earlier in the day? Do you think it just showed up overnight? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was not. I went out yesterday morning. I went to do a little last-minute shopping, and I don't remember seeing it then. I feel like I might have noticed because the street was pretty dead. You know, I mean, there were a few workman-type cars there, but I didn't notice it, no. But so I don't know.
And you would, and by the
and
way,
I didn't take a picture of it or anything.
Sure. Why would you, of course? And can you give me, though, kind of a description of it, an older RV, a new one? Is this one of those where there was a camper attached to a pickup, or how would you describe it?
No, it was a single vehicle. It was definitely one vehicle.
Okay.
You know, like a bigger kind of RV. It wasn't all beat up looking, but it wasn't new. You know, it wasn't one of those sleek, slick-sided ones. It was more of an older one, but it was large. I mean, it was a large RV, and it was an older one.
Now, do you have any idea when you'll be allowed back into the area? And for now, I assume you're elsewhere.
Yeah, we're at a hotel now. Honestly, it's very difficult to tell. I don't know which building for sure is ours that you're all showing on the film, but I know all of our front windows are blown out, our apartment's blown out. I can't imagine that we'll be let back in for days, and we didn't come out with anything but our... the clothes on our backs and pajamas.
And again, since you're very familiar with that area, we know there are you know, restaurants and clubs there. Can you think of anything there in your mind, and I'm just asking you as a citizen who lives in that area, that would have been a potential target?
No, I can't. I mean, our thought was they must be after the AT&T building. That was our thought, just because, you know, that's where they were parked on that side of the street. They chose not, thank God, to go down to Broadway and destroy everything. So, I mean, our thought was they must have been aiming for the building that they parked close to.
Gotcha. Well, that's certainly something I know law enforcement will be going to look at, and that's just speculation right now. But listen, ma'am, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm so glad you were safe, and hopefully what you've shared here along with authorities will help in the investigation of this case. But thank you, ma'am, so much for your time.
And that was the interview that Nick Barris had with Kim Madlam, and I think... a few of the takeaways from that was very interesting is the gunshot comments that that she talked about in there, because what she said was she heard a series of gunshots, and you know, multiple people have reported.
The last I checked, at least 10 to 15 people have said they've heard multiple gunshots that were in that area. Even people up the street closer to the 21C Museum and hotel.
And what she says was interesting. She said that the gunshots sounded the same, according to her account, every time that she heard that series of gunshots. It sounded similar. You know, pointing to the fact that, you know, there is always a chance that was coming out of the RV, the speakers of the RV. So I think that's something that is very interesting from that. But also, I think we've heard, and we haven't played all of our clips yet, but you and I have heard several times that the message from the RV what was playing a few things, but also the timing of it was very interesting because they said they left at 8 minutes and 8 minutes passed and nothing happened. So they started making their way back and that's when the explosion happened. So she actually said, I think 20 minutes passed after she left and nothing happened. So she made her way back and that's when the explosion happened. So the timing of the RV wasn't exactly as the broadcast had said what it was.
Well, supposedly at 5:30 a.m. is when the message, so that was like the last round of gunshots. And there's some witnesses saying that they heard gunshots three different times.
Right.
So, but then the message I was playing from 5:30 was saying, please evacuate now. There is a bomb. And it changed, though, at around 6:15. And it was saying, please evacuate now. The bomb will blow up in 15 minutes. And it was giving down a countdown. And it was throughout this time, it would say that message. And it was also playing a song during that time, which a lot of people didn't really talk about in the eyewitness accounts that I watched on News Channel 5 that day.
This came a lot later.
Yeah, this came a lot later. But there was a song being played in between, especially the 15-minute segment, and then there was a countdown, 15 minutes, 14 minutes, 12 minutes. And so around 6:15 is when the message started to change from the RV.
Yeah, so there were the countdowns, and then that that old song, "We'll Go Downtown." That song was playing
in between.
In between,
which is crazy.
Which that's nuts. That's some psycho stuff right there.
Well, you were saying before we started this recording, you're like, I think I've seen this on like some Criminal Minds episode or like something.
It's like an intro. At least in my head, I'm like, okay, I think I've seen this in like an intro to like a murder sequence at the beginning of a show like Criminal Minds or something like that.
I'm thinking something like Freddy Krueger type stuff.
It could have been on a movie or something like that. But I mean, that's just what comes to mind whenever I heard about that. But that was a very interesting sequence because I don't even know if we'll have time to go into the whole concept of the why. You know, what is the why behind the parking location? We'll have time, maybe not in today's episode. The location of where it was parked, like Kim said, next to the AT&T building. She's not talking about the big tall Batman building, but the AT&T Communications Center. That's kind of the unlabeled area. We will get to talking about, hopefully in a future episode, about, you know, what are the motivations behind, and the FBI hasn't made comments on things like this. The motivation behind giving a warning system, the motivations behind, you know, telling people to evacuate the area, you know, what is going on with all of this? So those are things we don't have the answers to, you know, and, you know, we're hoping that more information comes out about that. But, you know, we don't know. This could take a while to really process a lot of this stuff. So let's go back to what we were saying earlier about the noises coming out of the RV. We do have some audio from a security camera. This is coming from News Channel 5. They obviously got this from somebody who released the security footage near this area. This is not too far away from where that witness that we just heard from would have heard this message. And this is the kind of the warning. You can hear this if you go watch the footage on our Instagram account of the body cam footage from the police officer. This is a different piece of audio, but the same audio is audible in both of these things. So here's a little bit of what that RV sounded like. This is coming from News Channel 5. So you'll hear Rory, who's one of the broadcasters who is giving the context for this. But here's what this sounded like.
And Phil, I believe we have that surveillance video queued up again. This is right on 2nd Avenue. And this time we have backed it up prior to the explosion because it does catch the explosion. But you can hear the repeated recordings. And guys, I'm not sure if we have that. We all want to just be quiet and listen carefully to that recording, which police, like you said, Phil, confirming now was coming from the RV. Let's roll it.
So you can hear what that sounds like, and obviously that included the explosion in there, but you can hear that warning. I mean, you just feel like you're
watching a horror movie.
Yeah, you feel like you're watching The Purge or some kind of horror movie, or some kind of futuristic movie where, you know, these kinds of things are broadcast over PA systems or something like that. But just to hear that, because This was information that was released a few hours after the explosion.
I remember watching News Channel 5 when this portion was released. And I looked over at my wife, and my wife looked over at me. She started shaking her head, and I'm like, man, this is reminding me of horror movies too much.
This was the thing that really changed, like, everything about what we thought might have happened in that area. You know, because then you really have to go into why would somebody A, want to, you know, plant a bomb in downtown Nashville, but then why would somebody have the motivation to bomb a major metropolitan area, but not have the motivation to destroy lives along with property? You know, what was the motivation? Was the motivation to destroy property? Was the motivation just suicide with mass destruction, but no lives lost? What was everything going on in that situation? What was the importance of the timing? What was the importance of Christmas Day during all of this? So a lot of things still unanswered, but it was that audio that really kind of, you know, really kind of shakes everything, because it brings in a new picture to the story that is fairly interesting, and one that we is kind of new for situations like these that I've never seen before.
Yeah, a lot of the experts, I'm using air quotations for that, because there's not a lot of experts in this
field. I can verify, I see the air quotes.
But a lot of the experts said, yeah, this is not something like somebody would announce. And it's even to the point where, yeah, on Sunday, there was supposedly a van playing and towards Wilson and Rutherford County, playing the song downtown and playing this audio clip in church parking lots and stuff. They ended up not finding the explosive devices in his van. But now you're going to have a lot of situations where copycats are playing this type of music before
there
situations.
Was even an RV that was in downtown Cincinnati.
Yep.
On Saturday, late Saturday.
Well, they're saying there was another RV in Times Square, too.
They shut down
Times Square on Friday night.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot of stuff nationwide that happened immediately after this, because they thought this could be a nationwide attack.
So, what happened in that the time frame from another perspective, and this is police officer perspective, because the interesting, you know, phenomenon of having a warning system ahead from the RV led to, I believe, six police officers beginning an evacuation of residents and people in that area for this. And without, you'll hear the testimony from, you heard it from Kim, but you'll hear it from the testimony of the police officers as well, without them being able to know ahead of time what was going on and be able to evacuate the area, there probably would have been lives lost and many more injured in this. So the first we're going to hear is from police officer Amanda Topping. This is the interview that she gave during one of the press conferences, and this is also coming from News Channel 5.
Man, they got me closing this thing out. Oh my God. All right. So, I remember that morning, I was sitting with James Wells. We were talking over in my zone, and I heard Tyler Llewellyn and Brennan go out to the call. So we're kind of listening. This is an odd call. So we're sitting there, and my wife had just called because it's towards the end of our shift, so she was seeing what time I was coming home, and so I'm talking to her, and I'm like, well, we're about to head to this call. It's a little strange. So I hung up with her, and we head down there, and we get there. We didn't really know too much about it. Unbeknownst to us, we park right next to it. So, of course, we move because that seemed ideal. So, you know, I take my car down to 2nd and Broadway, and, you know, Sergeant Miller wanted me to stay down there to help with, because, you know, pedestrian traffic on Broadway, and, you know, the buses were starting to do their routes and stuff. So, of course, I was listening and everything, and they went up to the apartments, and I kind of stayed down there and kept on going up to 2nd and Commerce to hear what the RV was saying, and that's just stuff that I'll never forget, you know, the sound of the announcement saying, you know, primary objective is to evacuate now, and it's a female voice, and yeah, it's just odd. And then, of course, you know, I'm kind of pacing back and forth because I kept on having to turn pedestrians around. it was a weird feeling not being able to be with everybody else, but I knew that, you know, I needed to stay where I was at. Because, you know, you want to be with your detail, especially when you just have a feeling something's not right. And something that weird, just, you don't get stuff like that. So, but I was standing there by my car, and I heard Tyler say that music just came on. So I got, you know, I went to go get closer, and I heard it, and I was like, oh my gosh. So I was about to get on the radio and say, you know, I know it's almost not my place, but like, everybody's getting out of the buildings, right? We need, like, everybody, I wanted everybody to be safe. But then I saw a group of them, which couldn't really tell, but I was assuming was Brenna and Sipos and Tyler, walk around the RV back towards their cars. So I kind of saw them. And I started walking up to Second and Commerce because I wanted to talk to them. I wanted to know, like, do we need to go to more buildings? What do we need to do? You know, I was just getting really antsy. And I just talked to my wife again, just told her that things were just really strange. But as I'm walking towards them on the right side of the road, the right side of Second, I see Wells at his car, and I was like, well, he's closer, and I'll go talk to him, see what we need to do. So I don't know what told me to do this. It was really weird, but I decided to change my direction, go on the other side of the road, start walking towards Wells. So as I start walking towards him, you know, he starts walking towards me. You can see on the camera too, the footage, I've seen it. And I told him I didn't think anybody would ever believe him, how close he was. And I was probably about 10 steps away from him, 15. And we're just walking towards each other, and I just saw the biggest flames I've ever seen, the biggest explosion. I mean, it was, and I just saw orange, and then him, and I saw him stumble. And I felt it, I felt the heat, the wave. And I don't know how I kept my footing, but I kind of blanked and I couldn't see him for a second, and I just lost it, and I just took off in a sprint towards him. And like he said, I've never grabbed somebody so hard in my life. I grabbed him, he grabbed me, and we just ducked into a doorway because we didn't know what was coming afterwards. And I'll never forget the window shattering after the blast all around me. It kind of looked like a big prop from a movie scene, all the glass breaking at once. You know, it hit me all over, but just being able to hold him and grab him, and then the first thing I could do was, you couldn't hear anybody at first, it scared the heck out of me, but, you know, just 4:23, there's been an explosion, and sent multiple medics, because I didn't know what we had, and I was so scared that I just lost my entire detail, because I didn't know where they were. I just saw them pass by it, After that, we just, you know, made sure that we felt a little bit safe enough to go back and regroup, and luckily I heard everybody on the radio, and didn't know how okay everybody was, but I knew everybody was alive, and so I was happy to hear that nobody else was seriously injured, but that's pretty much it.
It's very interesting to hear that account, because we'll hear the account from James Wells next. You heard her say, you know, she didn't know what it was that compelled her, but to walk towards Wells, and at that time he was walking towards Second Avenue.
Yeah, so there's actually a video that we have on our Instagram, and I believe it's of Wells.
Yeah,
and he's right there on Second Avenue. Our Instagram is xplr.nash, by the way. And he is walking towards the RV. There's a video, and this is actually one of the police cameras that's there on Second Avenue. I know that police camera intimately because I look for where cameras are throughout town. And it's right there on Commerce and Second. And you could see that he started walking towards the RV in about 5 seconds before the explosion. He literally turned around and started walking back down Second Avenue towards Broadway.
Yeah, so here's the account from James Wells, kind of to round out the story. With Amanda Topping. It's very, very interesting, but they give fantastic accounts of what happened. You can watch the video on our Instagram account. Here is James Wells with his testimony of what happened that morning.
Good morning, Officer James Wells. Shortly after the shots fired call came out, Officer Llewellyn had came over the radio and said I needed everybody here immediately. And just by the tone of his voice, you know, we knew it was serious. And, you know, he said it was a possible bomb situation and that Sergeant Miller was aware. At the time, I was sitting right next to Officer Toppin, so we got over there as quick as we could. Not knowing that the RV was the vehicle in question at the time, we actually pulled right in front of it. So, you know, it's right across the street, we pulled up. And then when we heard the announcement, Toppin was like, is that the vehicle in question? And Llewellyn said, yes. We immediately hopped in our cars and backed out. And then so we started setting up the perimeter to start shutting down Commerce and Broadway to make sure nobody could come in or out. And then Llewellyn called for more people to come help evacuate the building, which I did. At that point is when I heard, you know, you have 14 minutes to evacuate the area. And at that point is when I started to prepare my mind for secondary things to happen. I actually told everybody when we come out to make sure we look at the high ground and the parking garages just in case, you know, because I felt like maybe an active shooter might have followed that just because it felt, at that moment, it felt real and it felt like there was going to be some secondary activity. So every time we came out of the building, we made sure that we were looking around and checking high areas, just making sure nobody was peeking around and looking at us. So we continued to go door to door, trying to get codes from dispatch to get in. We get down to second to Commerce, and that's when we hear the 3 minutes as we're coming out of the building. And at that point, I told them I was going to go back to my car and get my heavy plates, just mentally getting prepared for whatever was about to happen. And as I'm putting my heavy plates on, Llewellyn tells me that Sergeant Miller told me to pull my car back because I was actually in the intersection at first. So then I pulled my car back in between the buildings, and which is the parking garage, and then second to Commerce to get out of the blast radius. And at that point, I get out, and I'm starting to go back toward Llewellyn and Hosey. And as I'm getting ready to walk toward them, walking back toward the RV, and this might not be politically correct, but this is my truth. I literally hear God tell me to turn around and go check on Topping, who was by herself down on Broadway. And as I turn around, you know, for me, it felt like I only took 3 steps. And then the music stopped. And as I'm walking back toward Topping now, I just see orange. And then I hear a loud boom. And as I'm stumbling, because it rocked me that hard, I started stumbling. I just tell myself to stay on your feet, stay alive. And I just take out in a full-out sprint, and I'm running toward Topping to make sure she's okay. And we kind of meet in the middle, and we just grab each other, check each other, and I'm yelling at her to get her gun out. Because, like I said, I felt like there was going to be some, it just had a feeling that, you know, it's just weird. You know, it just felt like something out of a movie. And so we're checking on each other, and she's asking me, she's telling me that they're trying to raise me on the radio. I couldn't hear, so you know, I just lost temporary hearing in my left ear. So as she yelling, I'm, you know, saying what, and a couple of expletives telling I couldn't hear, and they get me to the paramedics. I call my wife immediately, let her know just before anything got out, to let her know that I was okay. And while I was in the ambulance, they were trying to get me to go to the hospital, and I just didn't want to be by myself at that moment, didn't want to leave them. And then I heard that there were 3 people that were injured, so I told the paramedics to take care of them. And I was like, I got, per policy, I got 10 days to get checked out. So it's like, y'all go check on them, go check on the civilians. And then I immediately went to go find Topping, just kept asking where Topping was, and we found her, and that was my part in it.
So that was James Wells, another one of the officers. If you go to News Channel 5's website, there are the interviews from all 6 officers who were involved in the process of helping to evacuate residents, including the one who we have the body cam footage for on our IGTV, on our Instagram account. And you can go watch that because it's just very, very interesting stuff. And of course, as you heard throughout there, the following the announcement and all that stuff, the blast did occur right around the 6:30.
Almost exactly. It was like 6:29:31.
Yeah.
So 6:30.
Yeah. Right around that 6:30 time, and was heard and seen and felt throughout the almost the entire Nashville area. And that's where we're going to leave off for today and then get into the timeline of the aftermath. What happened after the explosion? You know, when did we know what and how quickly did things happen in the aftermath of that? So that's going to be tomorrow when we get through this. So if you want to learn more on the latest, xplr.nash on Instagram.
That is the best place. We're going to update daily as long as information keeps coming out.
So we'll see you tomorrow with our part two of the timeline. What happened after the Christmas Day bombing? See you then.
Thanks for listening to Nashville Daily. You can check us out over on Instagram at xplr.nash, as well as our YouTube channel, xplr.nash. For Nashville merch, we have you covered as well. Find that at xplr.life.
You can also text us at 615-392-1358. And for more exclusive content, head over to NashvilleDailyPodcast.com. Nashville Daily is produced right here in the great city of Nashville. So if you like what we're doing, please give this podcast a 5-star rating and share it with your friends.